will not fear because of who Jesus is. We talked about this last week. We're talking about voices from the Gospel of Mark, and we began with our first message in this series last week. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved Son. Who is this Jesus? So we want to go to our second sermon in this series, Voices from the Gospel of Mark. Our text is Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And the voice this week is the voice of Jesus Christ, speaking to a storm. We've been singing about God's protective, loving care, our call to trust Him. And this text takes us there again. Who is this Jesus? I remind you again, this gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so everything we look at is designed to help us see Jesus for who He is. Every text in this book takes us back to who is this Christ. And here we see Him in chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was. And other boats were with Him. By the way, note the detail there. There are other boats going along. Whoever is speaking this, somebody apparently is an eyewitness. Remember we talked about last week, this book is likely Simon Peter telling the story to Mark, and Mark recording it under the inspiration of the Spirit. So Peter says there were other boats there too. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, and here's the voice, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even wind and sea obey Him?" Who is this Jesus? And why does it even matter? Why does it matter that we know who Jesus is? Well, to look at this text, I want to begin with a first truth that will help us to see why this matters. Here's truth number one, if you've got your notes. Life can be chaos. Life can be chaos. That's what it became quickly for these disciples, a storm erupting on that sea. Life can just be chaotic. Well, I want to show you this by walking back in time. I want you to go back with me to the Garden of Eden. There, God created a perfect world, put Adam and Eve in that world, created them in His image, provided everything they would ever need, took care of them, walked with them in the cool of the day, warned them that there is one tree in the middle of this garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, from which you had better not eat. And if you eat from this tree, you will die. And you know what they did. They chose to reject the word of the Father, and they chose to eat from the tree. And when they did so, everything changed. Everything changed. In fact, in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel, you can see where everything changes. Let's just look at this together. In the text we just read, nature is out of control. Nature changed. Nature turned on itself. Nature turns on us because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Everything changed because of sin. Let's keep looking. Look with me at chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel, verse 3 and following. In these verses, we're going to see a man possessed of demons. The human heart gets messed up because of sin in the garden. Verse 3, he lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Now look at that picture. You see, Mark could have said very simply in one sentence, this man was demon-possessed. But he gives us much more detail because Mark wants us to know this guy is in the middle of chaos. This guy is out of control, bound with shackles and chains, but he keeps breaking them. Nobody has the strength to subdue this guy. Night and day, he's screaming. He's gashing himself with stones. He is out of control. Let me show you another picture of a woman facing chaos. Chapter 5, verse 25. Again, look at the detail Mark gives us. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Once again, Mark didn't just say, here's a woman who was sick, but he gives us the detail. She's facing the chaos of life. She's been sick for 12 years. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She's gone to the doctors. They've had no answers. She's spent all of her money. She is not better. In fact, she is just worse. She's living in the middle of chaos. Then back up in chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet, and imploring him earnestly said, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." It's chaos. His daughter is dying. In fact, you know the rest of the story. Jesus agrees to go, but he doesn't get there before the girl dies. And they face the chaos, the pain, the agony of death, and all of that a result of the fall in the garden, that nature itself is disrupted. Sin sets in. The human heart turns wicked. Sickness begins to decay our bodies, and ultimately we all die. It's all the chaos of life. It's the reality of living in a fallen world, and we all live there. Sometimes that chaos is ongoing, like this woman who's sick for 12 years. Sometimes the chaos just hits us. That's what happened to these disciples. Jesus told them, "Get in the boat and let's go to the other side," and away they go. And a serious squall erupts. To put it in context, the Sea of Galilee really sits in a bowl, if you will, some 600 feet below sea level and surrounded by mountains. And some air comes off the mountain, cold air coming down off the mountain toward the sea. And meanwhile, there's air coming from the ocean and air coming off the desert. And all of that air whips through those mountains into that valley and causes an eruption on that sea. So it wasn't uncommon to have these violent storms, but normally they happen during the day. This is in the evening. And these disciples face this incredible storm, and it's chaos for them. Look at how quickly it happens. So powerful was this storm that the boat is being filled with water and breaking apart, and they are scared, rightly so. How quickly the chaos can come. If you read my email this week, I listed some ways that might happen. You go to work tomorrow, and by the end of the day, you've got a pink slip. Unexpected, that's chaos. You go to the doctor for a checkup, and the blood test comes back, and you've got a problem, and it's terminal. And you're all of a sudden in chaos. Or you get that dreaded phone call. A loved one has died. Your child has been arrested. Or a natural disaster comes through and you lose everything you have. And it's chaos. And it's life. And it can really happen to all of us. So if that's the case, we'd better know who this Jesus is. We'd better have somebody to turn to. We better have somebody with us in the boat. And so let's go to point number two. Life can be chaos, but here's the good news. Jesus is in control even when it seems otherwise. Jesus is in control even when it seems otherwise. Here are the disciples on the boat. Jesus said, "Get on the boat. Here comes the storm. Here come the waves. Here comes the rain. Here comes the wind. The boat filling up. The boat breaking apart. Where's Jesus? He's sleeping. And apparently sleeping quite soundly. Because even this storm doesn't awaken him. He's really resting. Why is he sleeping? Well, here's the first reason he's sleeping. He's tired. It's really that simple. Jesus is all human being and all God. In his humanity, he's worn out. He's giving, 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 ministering, ministering, ministering. He's just tired. He needs some rest. But in his deity, why is Jesus sleeping? He's not worried. He's not afraid. He's resting completely in the Father's care because he knows the Father's in charge here. The Father's the one who makes the wind move. Jesus isn't worried about the waves. God made the water. God made the sea. He's the one who told them to get in the boat in the first place. He's completely in charge here. But the cry of the disciples is honest. Don't you care? I can just see them trying to bail water, trying to keep the ship together and saying, where's Jesus? What's Jesus doing? How can he be sleeping in a time like this? If he really cared, he'd get up. If he really cared, he'd hear our cries for help and come do something about this. So when they say, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? That's not a request for help. That's an accusation. How can you sleep when we're in a storm? But here's the good news for us. Even when it seems like Jesus is sleeping, he is still in charge. He's still in control. It's simply that he cares for us in ways that are unexpected to us. We assume, Jesus, if you care for us, you'll fix it, and you'll fix it right now. When it might be that God sends us into the storm, and he's going to force us to ride through the storm. But he's still in charge. Because, you see, God puts us in storms for a purpose. And it is through the storms that we learn first who we are, and we learn second who he is. It's in the storm we learn about ourselves. These disciples had to learn they're not men of faith. They had to learn who Jesus is, and they'll come out of this saying, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's in the storm that we learn what we need to learn. And God's in charge of the whole deal. But you see, here's the difficulty for us. Here's why it gets hard for us. When do we realize what the storm is to teach us? When do we figure that out? You know when we get it? We get it after the storm, right? We get through the storm, God helps us, God lifts us up, we look back and say, you know what? God knew what he was doing. But boy, in the storm, it's a different deal. Because when we're in the storm, what we see are the circumstances, not the God who is over the circumstances. We get focused on the waves and not on the God who's in control of the waves. So here's what we have to do. When we're in the storm and it's overwhelming us, we have to, with eyes of faith, see beyond the circumstances to see that God's going to do something through this. God has some purpose here. God's in control here. In this text, the storm is out of control. The fear of the disciples is out of control, but God is not out of control. In our storms, we have to ask God, God, let me see. Let me see beyond what I see. Let me see, God, that you're really doing something that there will come a day when I can turn back and look and see, God, you taught me something I needed to know. Because Jesus is in control. He's in control, even when it seems otherwise. Here's point number three. Jesus is worthy of our trust. Jesus is worthy of our trust. Jesus takes care of the problem. He speaks to the wind, he speaks to the waves, and they're done for. Then he speaks to these disciples in verse 40. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith? Don't you have faith?" Well, let's talk about that for a minute. We need to understand what faith is in the New Testament. We talk about faith and we assume it's just believing something. I believe X, I believe Y, I believe Z, so therefore I'm a person of faith. And certainly that matters. It matters that we believe that there is a God. That's part of faith, but even the demons believe that there is a God. It matters that we believe Jesus is God's Son. That's part of our faith. That matters. It matters that we believe Jesus died for us. That matters. That's part of our faith. But faith is not just believing something. New Testament faith is putting trust in a person. Yes, it's believing all of those central truths, but it's out of that believing that we put our trust in the very person of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says to these disciples, "Don't you have any faith yet?" Here's what he's saying. Do you really think that I don't care for you? Do you really think that I can't fix this? Do you really not trust me? See, we're already far into Jesus' ministry at this point. They've seen Jesus work. And so in essence, Jesus says, by this point, don't you get it? Don't you just trust me? Let's do a quiz together here. I want you to help me. All you got to do is raise your hand. Tell me this. How many of you were graciously allowed by God to be raised in a Christian home? Let me see your hands. All right, good. How many of you, on the other hand, were surprisingly, unexpectedly grabbed by God at some point in your life? Let me see those hands. All right. How many of you have faced a tough time at some point in your life, but God made his presence known? How many of you have ever experienced God meeting a need in your life in such a way that the only thing you could say is, God did it? Okay, good. How many of you have appreciated God's granting you a second chance? And a third and a fourth and everything else. How many of you have committed the same sin more than once and yet God forgave you? It's funny, every service, everybody raises their hand on that one before I get to the end of the question. How many of you have faced a storm and later learned what God was teaching you? How many of you have been in most desperate times at some point in your life, cried out to God, and God came through? See, here's my point. I think we could write a book on the blessings of God. We could write a book about God's caring for us, God's providing for us, God's protecting us, God's coming through. And every one of us could write a book of God's hand in our lives that we could hand to our next generation. Couldn't we? We could all write the book. But then we get in a storm. And the waves start crashing and the water starts rising and it looks like everything's breaking apart and it seems like Jesus is sleeping and all we see is the storm and it's, "Master, don't you care?" And we've all been there. "Master, don't you care?" And it's at that point that Jesus says to us, "Look at your book. Read your book again. Look at the story after story after story. I've taken care of you. I've always met your need. do you still not trust me? Do you still not trust me? He really is worthy of our trust. Because the Jesus who allows us to be in the storm is the master over the storm. He's worthy of our trust. Let's go on. Number four. Jesus is greater than we know. In fact, he is God. Jesus is greater than we know. In fact, he's God. Look at verse 41 of this text, Mark chapter 4. The disciples then say, and they were filled with great fear. See, they were frightened by the storm, and then they were filled with awe and fear after Jesus calmed the storm. And they said to one another, who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? Who is this? They'd been with him. They'd seen him when he cast out an unclean spirit. They had seen him heal people from all over. People brought to him and he would touch them and heal them. They had seen him give cleansing to a leper. They saw Jesus when he healed a paralytic and told him, get up and carry, take your bed. They had seen him heal a man with a withered hand. They had heard him teach in such ways that the people said, we're amazed by his teaching. Never have we heard anyone teach like this. They had seen all that, but they had never seen anything like this. They'd never seen this. See, some of these guys were fishermen. They had seen storms die down. But you see, what they'd seen before was the rain begins to slow. The waves stop their rolling. They're not quite as high. They're not quite as strong. They're not as loud. And slowly the storm calms. But it's not the way it happened here. No, Jesus rebuked the wind and it stopped. And the text reads, he said to the waves, peace, be still, and it was done. It all became calm instantaneously. They'd never seen anything like this. Who then is this that he can speak to the waves and they're done for? Well, who is this? Let me quickly show you some text in the Old Testament. Go with me to Psalm 89. I'm going to show you two psalms. Psalm 89. Verses 8 and 9. Maybe these disciples had some recollection of the psalmist writing these words, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. And look at verse 9. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Same book, Psalm 107. Verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. Look at verse 29. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Who can do that but God? Verse 30. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Who is it that can calm the raging sea? It is God. And they'd never seen anything like this. This is the one who can roll the waters back at the Red Sea. This is the one who can divide the Jordan River. This is God in their presence, and they're amazed by him. When's the last time Jesus so amazed you that all you could say is, who then is this? Who then is this? He's greater than we can ever imagine. And God sometimes puts us smack in the center of a storm so that we will learn that. He puts us in the storm to remind us which one of us is God. He's greater than we know. In fact, he's God. Let's go to the last point. Let's wrap it up here. Number five, Jesus is master over nature, over demons, over sickness, and over death. That's really the end of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5 in Mark's gospel. Jesus is the one who can calm the sea. Jesus is the one who can free a man filled with demons. Jesus is the one who can heal the woman sick with a blood disease. He can do what no other doctor can do. Jesus is the one who can raise a little girl from the dead. You see, every problem that sin created in the garden, Jesus fixed it. Jesus took care of it because he's master over all of it. So in the middle of the storm today, God may choose to just say, peace, be still, and he calms it all. Or God may call you to endure the storm even as it seems like he's sleeping. Either way, he's still Lord. Either way, he's still the master. And so we must trust him. The voice from the Gospel of Mark, peace, be still. Would you pray with me, please? I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you're facing a storm. Here's my prayer for you today, that you would just know God would give you eyes of faith, a heart of trust, that even when it seems like Jesus is sleeping, you'll know he's still in charge. He's still in control. And you can go from this place trusting him like never before. When others are coming in a moment, if you're in a storm and you just want someone to pray for you, we've got guys here who'd be happy to do that. Or perhaps today you're looking for Christ. You've come here wondering, what is the gospel all about? And you want to talk to someone about following Christ. We're happy to talk to you as well. We have a time of response in a moment when others come and we get to pray for them. If you wish to come then with them, come and talk to one of us. You wish to talk to us after the service, we'll be right here. But we want you to come to this Jesus who is master over all. Maybe God's called you to join our fellowship, to become a part of this church membership and march forward with us. If that's God's calling on your life, follow him. Follow him. This day, in these next few moments, Let's turn to Christ and put our trust in him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, you know our hearts. You know those among us who are filled with storms. I pray we could trust you. I pray we could run to you. Could leave this place with our faith restored. God, do what you wish to do in our lives over these next few moments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.